and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a terrific day today. It's actually quite sunny outside. Probably will rain here in a little bit, which is pretty normal for Florida as it cools down. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing great. You know, we get literally thousands of emails from our listeners and from our customers, and guys, thank you for that, because we love your emails. It's just wonderful to be able to actually communicate with you. And as you guys know, if you're on my private email list, I always respond to pretty much everything you send me, unless it's just an information email you're sending me. But I got a couple of emails yesterday that I want to one text today and one email. I want to read these on the show today. I'd love to do this with my both these people are good friends. One of them is Terry and the other one is Brad. And Terry is a single mom. She's also an attorney. And she's wide awake. Both these folks are wide awake. And she was responding yesterday about churches, about believers who don't attend church anymore. And says, I'm quoting her now. "I could write a book on churches behaving badly towards single moms, but I will spare you. However, as a temporary resident of Colorado, I have visited 4 churches. I want to find Christian believer friends and perhaps a life-giving to someone. 2 churches were large. 1 was medium. 1 was tiny. 2 gave bag gifts with a travel coffee mug and brochure, but no Bible. Overall, the experiences have been awful, painful. The worship music is atrocious. Black stage, black ceiling, dark carpet, purple lighting, and a middle-aged woman in tights, not slacks, leading the eclectically dressed, look at me, I'm so cool worship team, who each with their own assigned space on the platform. At one church, I estimate the lighting and the sound system cost around $200,000. By the way, those are accurate numbers. I've checked with these guys. Stupid and unbiblical lyrics, a 5-word meaningless chorus repeated at least 30 times, no melodies, just words being shouted. Meanwhile, the congregation stands mute because they're unable to follow along. I did not recognize any song at any service except for one spontaneous short-lived chorus. 3 of the sermons range from moronic to marginal. Oh, please, please, please let me preach. I will at least refer to the Bible or God. After being totally unable to engage anyone in meaningful conversation, I walk past the in-house restaurant, coffee bar, past the bookstore that sells cutesy Christian stuff, and past the electronic donation kiosk. I repeatedly dope slap my forehead as I cannot believe what I am experiencing. Then I ask myself, in which of the 7 parking lots did I leave my car? What a mess. Did Jesus die on the cross so we could spend our Sundays doing this? I don't know if I will attend any more church services. I feel like I would only be going in order to document yet another train wreck." Terry.
Gosh.
And you know what? I can't even argue with her. When I went to that pastor's conference up in Birmingham, while there were some phenomenal speakers and some of the music was really good, it was the huge stage, it was the super loud music, and some of the music, though, was pretty good. I got to give that. But not all of the pastors preached Jesus and Jesus crucified and the cross. Now, some of them did. So it's frustrating to me that some of the fastest-growing churches in the United States simply don't talk about anything that the Bible talks about, don't even mention Scripture in the pulpit. Now, here's another text I got today. This is from Brad Parton. He's my colleague. He's basically a master's degree in business. Brilliant man, one of my best friends. And he wrote me this. He's a huge Donald Trump supporter. Now, as you guys know, I'm neutral on Trump. I was a huge Trump supporter. I'm neutral on what he's doing right now, but I like a lot of what he's doing. I really do. And we're going to talk about the Supreme Court pick in just a minute. But here's what Brad said. I'll read you part of this. It's a long text. It says, "God bless Donald Trump. Never in history, and all these facts are correct. I'm going to start over again. God bless Donald Trump. Never in history has a leader been more attacked, more spied upon, been the victim of corrupt law enforcement investigations, maligned by a hate-filled media, vexed by witches and warlocks alike, beguiled by Hollywood, and refused to back down. Trump is constantly on the offensive, attacking the liberals with both barrels. In the past, conservatives had to put up with appeasement of the media, fear of their reporting negatively, and Republicans constantly apologize and change their positions based on how the media views their policy. No more. Trump coined the term fake news, and now recent polls show that 72% of Americans distrust the mainstream media. Without Trump, this does not happen. Without Trump, we are losing this fight. Is he perfect? No. But those that don't struggle with sin every day, cast the first stone. Go ahead. How many of you have decided not to run for office because of knowing of your past, knowing his past transgressions? He pressed on forward. Would you have? Not I. Conservatives need to wake up and realize that this man is being used by God to fight the forces of evil, and he seems to be bulletproof only because of the tear-stained prayer altars of true patriots that plead the blood of Christ over him daily. Now, guys, that's an excellent. That was so good. I told Brad I was going to read it on the air, but I want to share that with you. Now, do I feel that way about Trump? Pretty much that way, yeah. I pretty much feel the same way about Trump as that, but I don't like some of the things that he's done, especially with the Goldman Sachs relationships that he has. Don't care for any of those. Now, I also know that, you know, this Kavanaugh guy is interesting because Trump just came out here a few weeks ago and had a stand that he wanted a girl to get an abortion, and he pretty much was backed by Kavanaugh as far as allowing this girl to get an abortion. So people think that Kavanaugh is going to go in and do something with Roe v. Wade. That's simply not going to happen as far as I'm concerned. Now, I could be wrong in that, but he said that Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. So I would like to know, you know, what you guys think about Kavanaugh. I'm going to read you some more stuff about the Federalist Society that he's involved in. But there's another good article here on the Business Insider. It says Trump nominates Brett Kavanaugh to replace the retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy on the court. Now, Kennedy has been good for some conservative causes, disasters and others. But, you know, now they're trying to avoid some of that, which I'm going to cover that right now. It says Kavanaugh is Trump's second nominee in the high court in nearly the 18 months since he took office. Justice Neil Gorsuch, his first nominee, was confirmed in April 2017. This is huge for President Trump. If Trump can get two more people on the Supreme Court, which he has a good possibility of doing that, he can stack the court for decades. Now, are these guys perfect? Absolutely not. But remember, guys, this is something that we have to just do the best we can with these guys because we don't know what any of these guys are going to do. But I will say this. He basically is a Yale law graduate. Now, remember, Yale is Skull and Bones to the core. Now, I don't know if he's a member of Skull and Bones or not, but remember, Kavanaugh started his career as an associate counsel with Kenneth Starr, the special prosecutor who investigated former President Bill Clinton's extramarital affair in the White House. He also led the investigation into the suicide of Clinton's aides, Vince Foster. That's where I throw the flags up. Those are my big flags right there. He led the investigation into the suicide of Clinton aide Vince Foster, who they finally ended up ruling was a suicide. That's the problem I have with all of this. Now, you know, I was talking to another good friend of mine today. He came to Richard. He came to the office, and we were talking earlier today. And he said, I was asking him about this thing with Kavanaugh. We were talking about it in detail. And he said, basically, in order to win the horse race, you don't have to worry about the horses. You just own all the horses. And that's what the Rothschild banking cartel has done. Now, let me go ahead and give you a bit more information on Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh made headlines recently when he backed the Trump administration in his dissent to a ruling that allowed an undocumented minor to receive an abortion. Now, this is a Catholic doing this. Now, it's just one of those things that we have to understand who this guy is. Okay, he's the one who said Vince Foster was a suicide and led the investigation. That throws up a gigantic red flag to me for this guy. Now, if you go back to the Federalist Society that we talked about so many times, and like I'm the only person that ever talks about this, by the way, who's basically supplying these people to the court, here's an article from Slate. This is an independent news article thing. It's pretty good, and it's called Jurisprudence, the Federalist Society Majority. This is an article by Lawrence Baum and Neil Devins. You can look it up. The Federalist Society Majority. The organization will soon have, the Federalist Society, will have a 5-4 stranglehold on the Supreme Court. He goes on Monday, Donald Trump is set to nominate Supreme Court Justice who is tied to the Federalist Society and who has been vetted by the leaders of that group. This is precisely what Trump did when he chose Neil Gorsuch in 2017. And in doing so, he'll be continuing a pattern that dates back to George W. Bush, which bothers me again. Now, think about what I'm saying. Same pattern with George W. Bush. We know that George H. Bush, his father, Prescott Bush, was a Nazi sympathizer, if not a Nazi himself, with Prescott, you know, with Hitler. And he helped fund the doggone Nazi war machine. We know this, okay? This is not some kind of thing. And George H. also tried to do Prescott Bush tried to do a hostile coup in 32-33 of the United States against Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We know all this stuff is real. Well, now we've got these guys that are doing the same thing with the federal side with George Bush, and I'm going to tie all that together in just a second. I'll say, also, Republican presidents not only emphasize ideology and the judicial appointments, but also look to the Federalist Society as the principal vehicle to identify qualified members of the conservative elite, so conservative legal movement. Now, here's another article I wanted to pull up. The name of this article, now, I don't agree with everything in this article, but I'm going to read you part of it. It's by Duff, and it goes, NEO, America, the World's Most Dangerous Dictatorship. And it says, here's what it says here. During the Clinton years, now listen to me, guys, because remember, Bush is part of that Nazi group. During the Clinton years, powerful Nazi-inspired elements in America plotted what has been successfully overthrow of America's Constitution. The movement was led by rogue industrialist John Mellon Scaife and lawyers Antonio Scalia and Newt Gingrich. By the way, Newt is not an attorney. He was basically, he's got a PhD in like international history. Financing them all, listen to this, financing them all was the Rothschild-owned and controlled Federal Reserve Corporation. Unbelievable. A secret society hidden in plain sight was set up to call and called the Federal Society. This, according to this author, this Nazi-controlled group, backed by the powerful Israeli lobby, moved into every law school in America, recruiting top candidates based on skill sets needed. The program was devised by the CIA, Rothschild-controlled, and recruited thousands of budding sociopath personality types, recruiting them into the Federal Society and channeling them into top law firms or government agencies. According to these recruits, these recruits were senior lawyers with ties to organized and corporate crime, thousands of them in a major CIA operation. They were pushed forward and after a decade ran the U.S. government and the Justice Department nearly in every court in the nation, controlled the law schools, controlled the American Bar Association, the FBI, and it put over 150 of their members into Congress of the United States. They also controlled every regulatory agency, environment, banking, and finance, drug, food, safety. You see where this is going. They also control 5 justices of the Supreme Court of the United States now. During the Clinton administration, they managed to temporarily get control of the U.S. House of Representatives through the help of the contract with America with Newt Gingrich, financed by the Zionist black propaganda money man Robert Murdoch. In payment for this, Newt gave Murdoch an American broadcast network, Fox, though illegal, you see, because non-Americans can't control such networks, or couldn't. That's okay, because Gingrich eventually gave Murdoch illegal American citizenship as well. Murdoch had only to publish Newt's excuses books and to give his wife, and Newt traded with him regularly. Give his wife a job. During the Clinton administration, Scaife, this gets really interesting now. I don't usually read something this long, but you guys just stay with me. During the Clinton administration, Scaife, S-C-A-I-F-E, hired lawyer Ken Starr to investigate Clinton and get himself nominated as special prosecutor. Scaife paid Starr by naming him president of Pepperdine University, which Scaife controlled for those who want to care about the facts. Clinton backer George Soros hired a former CIA agent named Steve Kangas to get dirt on Scaife. Kangas amassed enough evidence on Scaife and his deal with Starr to send them both to the electric chair. Scaife, Scalia, and the Federalists had Kangas kidnapped and murdered in order to save Ken Starr, who had been promised a seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, he just goes on and then talks about the CIA and the Dipole Corporation. So here's what I'm saying. It's like Richard told me today. If you want to win the race, you own all the horses. Remember what I told you guys with the Rothschild banking cartel back in the 20s when somebody finally told the truth about the takeover of the United States with the Federal Reserve System, and I read you the article and I quoted you what this guy said. He said, the Rothschilds, we, the bankers, the international banking cartel, we control both sides of the narrative and we hold the earth by its axes and we tip the earth any way we want to go by controlling both sides of the narrative, or you own all the horses. So what we have here is a polarity event. You know, every story needs a villain, I guess, so to speak. Right now, the villain is Hillary Clinton and that bunch. Before that, it was the Bush bunch. But the reality is the villain is the Rothschild banking control cartel that controls the whole planet through the Federal Reserve Systems and their international crime cartels. That's the villain. But they don't want you to know they're the villain. So what they do is they use all of these crazy stories all of the time in order to control the narrative of both sides of the story. So eventually you're going to just so I have no idea what you're just going to give up. Say, I have no idea about any of this stuff. None of this makes any sense to me. That's what they want. They want the ability to control the narrative and control the outcome of the race. That's what we're seeing here. We got a guy just got shoved on the Supreme Court if he gets approved. Who headed the investigation for Vince Foster? My gosh, how could you not know that guy didn't kill himself and he was murdered? How come that didn't come out? I mean, this is insanity. But again, that's who these guys are. Now, there was a woman who was nominated also. She was a hardcore Catholic, also brilliant woman. Man, she's brilliant. I would have preferred her instead of this guy. But again, I don't know if she's part of the Federalist Society or not. And he may be her next nomination if Ginsburg croaks and bites the bullet or whatever happens to her. I mean, that girl's, she can't stay awake during the meetings anymore. And so we've got a whole situation now, Austin, where the American population is being fed this information, not realizing who the Federalist Society is, who started the Federalist Society, and how they control the courts, and how this guy's been picked to the Federalist Society, and he was the one who head up to the Vince Foster investigation. All of this stuff has to be told. Now, I can pretty much guarantee you that you will not hear what I just told you on any other alternative talk show today. I'm just telling you guys that. You're not going to hear it because they're not going to go into this detail about this stuff. But this is who these people are. So you say, well, it's great he's on. We'll have a conservative majority on the court. Okay, I'd rather have him on than another Ginsburg. I got that. Okay, we're good with that. Or another, you know, whatever, Meyer or whatever. I don't want these people on the court. But the reality is this. They're going to play this narrative. Right now it's the positive, it's the pro. The election was so huge in front of Trump. And see, guys, let's talk about this for a second. They do all of the research on this. They do the research. They have beta testing. They have everything you type, everything you email, everything you say, every telephone call you make, everything you send out, every email is sorted and basically analyzed by their supercomputers. And they know exactly what the narrative is as far as who and what the bulk of the American population is thinking. This is all part of the problem action solution. This is all part of Edward Bernays, the guy who basically was the father of advertising. This is how they've controlled us. This is all part of the operant classical Skinner stuff they put into the school systems, the problem action solution, stunning us with a stun baton. They don't use a stun baton on us unless they hit you with a taser, but that's what they do. So they know exactly what the internet is saying. You know, they know exactly what the outcome is going to be. So if they've got this huge surge towards Donald Trump and this insane hatred for Hillary Clinton, they know that people are going to start exposing them if they don't control the narrative the direction they want to do. Remember, the Rothschilds bailed out Donald Trump in the 80s, bailed him out. Now, do I want to believe that Donald Trump is the white horse, man in shining armor, the guy carrying the flaming torch, the guy who's here to kill the globalists and get rid of all these whack bags and hang the bankers? Absolutely yes. That's a Pollyanna approach for me to look at. It's not true. He's putting his Goldman Sachs cronies right into the doggone offices in the White House and in the administration staff. That's what he's doing. So we have to look at that. Now, we have everybody now saying, it's better than Hillary. Okay, yes, it's better than Hillary. I'm not going to even argue that. But the reality is that because we're taking a stand for Trump because he's not Hillary? Is that why we're doing this? We all know Hillary Clinton's the pits, okay? We all know she's the witch of Benghazi. We all know she's a full-blown Sabbatean witch. We got that. We understand it. We know she ran the White House with Bill Clinton. We know he's a lower-level warlock or whatever you want to call him with all the weird stuff they do down in Haiti that we talked about yesterday with all the witchcraft. We got all that. We know that Hillary, now they're saying that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are flying commercial, and they fly in a first-class section. It's all over the media. First of all, it's probably body doubles, number one or number two. Number three and number four, they probably had multiple Secret Service people on that first-class flight with them just in case somebody wanted to talk to them if it was really those guys to start with and they weren't body doubles. Don't you remember the body double running around with Hillary, who was basically looked just like Hillary right before the election? And she shows up one day walking on the street talking to everybody. Whatever. You know, we got to understand, Saddam Hussein used body doubles. Adolf Hitler used body doubles. A lot of national leaders used body doubles from a security standpoint. Why? Let's say they're going to be tracked to the airports. They're afraid they're going to get a bomb on them. Okay? They send out five limousines with four body doubles and one person. Nobody has any idea who the real president is and what limo they're in. They all take different routes. Okay. That's one reason they use body doubles. This is the thing that people need to understand. Okay, I'm going to say something. I'm going to go on the record right now. There was a chihuahua who made the news this week. I've got it on the news. And this chihuahua, this chihuahua was tiny. It's like the size, it's smaller than like a dollar bill. Tiny chihuahua. And I don't, if you like chihuahuas, great, I don't care for them. But this is a small chihuahua. And this chihuahua was like the smallest chihuahua in the world. So they cloned it. They cloned it 49 times. They made 49 little chihuahuas. Are you kidding me? No, we have that technology. This is from Dolly the Sheep back in the 90s. This is 20-year-old technology that is way, way past all of this. You say, well, you're saying that we could be using body doubles that are clones? I didn't say that. Other people have said that. I don't buy that because I can't see how they can age the clone to get that old that fast. I don't get that. But here's what I am saying. There are a lot of people out there who have a lot of people who look like a lot of famous people who, with a little bit of plastic surgery, could be made not to tell the difference. We saw that with Saddam Hussein. So here's my whole point with all of this stuff. We can't keep excusing Donald Trump for what he does because he's not Hillary Clinton. We can't do that. But now whenever he does stuff great, we got to praise him. But couldn't there be some other judge out there who didn't head the investigation on Vince Foster? Hey, come on, guys. Somebody else out there who did that? Think through it all, guys. The Nazis pushed the Bushes and the Clintons up. We got two legs of the same Satan groups, basically what this is, that are competing for power against each other, controlled by the international monetary funds and the Rothschild bankers on top of them, playing these guys against each other, making us think that something different's happening right now. Guys, here's what's happening right now. These guys are trying their best to push the world to Genesis chapter 6, where evil is completely reigning and every thought of every man is evil all the time. They're doing everything they possibly can to hook us into a 5G network, to get us into a D-Wave computer, so they can monitor and change our very thoughts and actions. That's what's going on right now. We've got all of this stuff that's happening behind the scenes that nobody wants to talk about, rather than who did Donald Trump sleep with. You know, what whore did he have? What prostitute did he have? What porn star did he sleep with? And all this stuff is bread and circuses for the masses. What did Gerald Celente say? Welcome to the Donald Trump reality TV show. That's what this is. It's a reality TV show. And the problem is, we as Americans need to understand how we have been hijacked by the banking cartel. And not let this other stuff be part of it. If we all talk the same talk, believe the same thoughts as far as who's really in charge of all this, we can start making a difference in the United States. But guys, until we get real elections back here again, because we saw Hillary Clinton completely steal the election from Bernie Sanders. We saw that with election fraud. We saw that. Nobody has done anything about that. Bernie Sanders shows up one day with a big old bust on the side of his face. Somebody cracked him upside the head because he was running his mouth. Look it up. How that all happened. Who knows? I don't know. All I know is this. He doesn't run his mouth anymore. See, guys, we need to understand who's running the country and what the agenda is. And quite frankly, the federal society right now is running the courts of the judges, and this guy's a big part of that. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, there's some strange stuff going on with it. I mean, I looked at it today, and I mean, you know, it is funny what you just said with that. I mean, we even know that they were giving Hillary the questions to the debate. Do you remember for Donald Trump with the first debate she had?
That's right.
I mean, we
ended up
getting busted for that. And nobody wants to talk about that. Everybody just pretends like that didn't happen, like she didn't get busted for that. They didn't call her out for that. I mean, you're talking about a main presidential candidate debate, and the other side gets the questions to the debate. Remember, we all looked at each other on that first debate, and they give her the question. She goes, well, that's a really good question. And then she goes on this really, really, really extravagant answer that is so perfectly timed and coined, even the punctuations are done perfectly, like she's reading it off a teleprompter. And we're all kind of looking at each other, and I'm like, that's a really, really, really significantly good answer for her. I have no idea how she already knew the questions to that, and she ends up getting busted for it later. Nobody wants to talk about that. But, yeah, as far as, you know, back to the whole thing with the Supreme Court, one of my biggest aspects, you guys already know, is the Second Amendment. I know that I've read the article that one of our friends sent us today as far as he was a strong advocate on making sure that people in D.C. can still own rifles or handguns, both semi-automatic, in D.C. Basically said it was unconstitutional if they could not own a firearm in D.C. The problem with that whole aspect of it is that I have an issue with it of even the debate of saying that there's a question on whether or not you can own a firearm in D.C. is like reading in the Constitution whether or not you have a right to breathe air. there is no question about it. There is no debate. There never has been a debate. There is no constitutional law or anything in the Bill of Rights that restricts the ownership or possession of any firearms whatsoever, regardless of state inside this great country. There is none. So to come up with a mythological debate and say, well, it's questionable whether or not you should be able to own a firearm or not own a firearm in Washington, D.C., to me is a null and void conversation. It's not even a question. The fact that there's even restrictions like they have on them before boggled my mind. So I'm glad he ruled in favor of that, and I'm glad he is, so far, what they said on that is a Second Amendment defendant. But on the other question of that as well, I actually want to see some real standpoints where he's actually defended the Second Amendment, like saying bump fire stocks are not classified as machine guns. ATF's already ruled that since 1934 when it comes to select fire weapons. There's already no question about that. So those are the things that I want to see him talk about instead of with the whole thing with Washington, D.C. That whole area up there already boggles my mind. But a lot of other news to get into today. One thing I wanted to talk about, too, that I thought this was quite interesting, as apparently IRS and the State Department now are actually going to start implementing this law. You guys remember back when Obama was in office, thank goodness that's over with now, there was a law that was passed, basically the Fixing America's Surface Transportation Act, which on the surface it sounded like a bunch of good stuff for refixing roads and handling all the stuff. Well, embedded in that act that Obama signed was it gave IRS the ability to deny and revoke passports for people that owed IRS money. Now, they're saying this year now hundreds of thousands of U.S. citizens may have their passports revoked or denied due to owing unpaid taxes. They said some 362,000 plus people may fall under the scope of the 2015 law as early as the end of this year now, with the FAST Act, which allows the State Department and IRS to refuse to issue passports to those with delinquent debts that are defined as unpaid, legally enforceable federal tax liability of more than $51,000, including interest and penalties. That rule envisions denying first-time passport applications as well as renewal of the travel document, as well as a valid passport can be revoked by the State Department. An ongoing crackdown. Listen to this now. This is what they're trying to say about this now, since they started it this year. This is how effective it is. An ongoing crackdown on tax debtors has deemed a success by the IRS Division Commissioner Mary Beth Murphy, telling the Wall Street Journal that at least as many as 200 people have now paid off their debt this year, replenishing the federal budget with $11 million.
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry for laughing here. If I'm not mistaken, we added another $55 billion to the military budget on a whim at the end of the last national budget issue that we were going on. So we've managed to extract another $11 million out of the dry sponge of the American population by forcing them with unconstitutional laws to basically take money from them against their will. Notably, since the sum of debt also includes interest, penalties, and assessed taxes, it means that while you think you owe much less than the threshold amount, interest and penalties can make up for the difference literally within days, weeks, or months, depending on how much. So now we have the IRS, which we saw this in 2015, but they never started implementing it, with the ability now to revoke your ability to travel freely, unmolested, on your way, simply because they state the amount of taxes that you owe, including interest and penalties, is over the threshold amount for the law to go into effect. This is something that's quite scary, because this is going back to the Gestapo area, where they basically take your papers from you. If you don't present your papers or you do not have them with you, you basically are thrown into jail immediately. There is no rebuttal. There is no question. There is no pass go. There is no collect $200. You immediately go to jail. That's where this is headed now. Now, where's to say that this $51,000 threshold, which a lot of people say, well, that's still a lot of money. With interest and penalties, that's not a lot of money, guys. If you owe $10,000 or $15,000, Well, all of a sudden they throw a couple $1,000s in penalties, then they start throwing interest on top of the penalties and money you owe, and you don't pay that for a year or two. You can hit that $51,000 threshold off $10,000 in back taxes like that, and you don't even realize it happened. Now, what's to say they don't lower that $51,000 amount in a few years now that they've already seen that the United States population will again submit and allow their passports to be revoked and denied simply on the aspect of IRS having the ability to say, you owe us money, regardless if it's accurate or not, you have to pay us or you cannot leave this country legally. So that's the point that we're starting to go into now. But again, nobody wants to talk about stuff like this, and nobody wants to get on the offensive. And that's why I think Dad's talking about earlier that I also have a really big problem with, and why I've tried to be such a vocal advocate of a lot of this stuff, is a lot of people have kind of sit back and complacent. They're like, well, you know, they haven't gone and completely restricted our Second Amendment and started confiscating guns door to door. Okay. We haven't reached that level of Gestapo yet that they're basically kicking in our doors with no-knock search warrants and taking our firearms against our will. Oh, actually, they have started doing that. They do have the ability to do that in numerous states now. If they deem you to be mentally unfit, they can come in and say, you don't have the ability to own a firearm. We're going to breach your house at 4 a.m., steal all of your guns, drag you in front of the court, and make you defend yourself and prove why you legally are allowed to own your firearms. Oh, that's right. We already have gotten into that point right now. So the level of being defensive and allowing them to take another level and another step and another right and another right away from us, it's kind of reached that point now. We don't have the ability to sit back and act mildly defensive anymore. We have to push forward with the rights and the morals and the ethics and the constitutional law that we know to be right from wrong and push those forward now. That's why I find it really frustrating when I see things like, you know, this Supreme Court judge pick really has no significant background on a whole lot of conservative issues that are really, truly hardcore constitutional law. Basically, it just kind of goes here and there with a lot of this stuff, and that's what we have in place now. All we can do is hope and pray that we actually get more in there that are actually going to make a difference, Dad, because things like this, the Supreme Court not handling and not coming in and saying, no, IRS doesn't have the ability to revoke your passport over $51,000. Oh, except the fact that the Supreme Court doesn't have the legal ramifications or any type of ability to tell the IRS what they can and can't do. I forgot, that's right, because the IRS and the Federal Reserve trump any type of federal or constitutional law now that they've been put in place, because they are not held to federal law, because they are above the law, the reason why they are not even based in the United States, they were based out of Puerto Rico. So those are the things right there that I want to bring up and I want people to discuss and realize this is the facade we're in. This is why every couple weeks the mainstream media changed the narrative of what topic, of what conflict is going to be on.
That's right.
1 week it's the Supreme Court that everybody's flipping out about from the Democrat, the left side. Oh, a couple weeks before this, it was about the children being taken away from their parents at the border that really wasn't even happening on any significant level. Oh, then it was something else that was going on in Syria. Oh, then it was something else that was going on in Washington. Oh, then it was something else going on with the porn star debacle with Trump. If you guys notice, every 2 to 3 weeks, the conflict changes on the mainstream media to another conflict, to another conflict, to another conflict. This is done for an exact specific purpose. It is done to keep the population focused on the TV set, on the mindless drone of the mainstream media, so nobody looks at things like this right here, that the IRS can go in and revoke your passport to travel freely unmolested simply by not paying them interest and penalties. We don't talk about these type of things. We simply want to go on the aspect of things like, well, you know, the illegal immigrants that are coming here illegally and we're detaining them, you know, they have constitutional rights and this shouldn't happen. No, they don't have constitutional rights and this should be happening, and this is something that we need to understand. This should not even be an argument right now. So these are things, Dad, that need to be brought up, as far as my opinion.
Austin, that's excellent. Let me read you an article. Let me read you a quote from Ellen G. White. Guys, listen to this. One of the best quotes ever. The greatest want of the world is the want of men men who will not be bought or sold, men who in their inmost souls are true and honest, men who do not fear to call sin by its right name, men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole, men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. Guys, that's what we try to do on the show. We try to give you non-biased information, both sides of the coin. And we don't want you guys to think that we're being pro-Trump, negative Trump, nothing of that. All I want to be is neutral. Now, another one, another quote I want to read you. This is Aldous Huxley, Brave New World Revisited. Now, listen to what he says. The real hopeless victims of mental illness are to be found among those who appear to be most normal. Many of them are normal because they are so well adjusted to our mode of existence, because their human voice has been silenced so early in their lives that they do not even struggle or suffer or develop symptoms as neurotic does. They are normal not in what may be called the absolute sense of the word. They are normal only in relation to a profoundly abnormal society. I'm going to repeat that. They are normal not in what we would call the absolute sense of the word. They are normal only in relation to a profoundly abnormal society. Their perfect adjustment to that abnormal society is a measure of their mental sickness. These millions of abnormally normal people living without fuss in a society of which, if they were full human beings, they could not be adjusted. Guys, that is an incredible quote. In other words, what has happened here is this. The world has adjusted its normalcy definition to this sick, perverted mess that these Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferians have said is normal. They have said it's okay to murder 60 million babies. It's okay for men to marry men. It's okay for transgenders to be part of the Miss Universe or Miss America pageant. It's okay for all of this stuff to happen because that's the new normal. And what do the masses do? They go, okay, bah, that's the new normal. I'm in. I don't want to appear to be abnormal, because they've just moved and created a paradigm shift that the new normal is what they say it is. And if we don't want to listen to what they want to say the new normal is, then we're considered to be abnormal or twisted or messed up in the head. Or, you know, a racist or a bigot or whatever. It doesn't make any difference, guys. The normal is defined by this. The normal of what our society should be based on the Word of God. The Old Testament combined with the New Testament. The Word of God. Ron Paul came out and said on an interview here this past week, which is really not Ron Paul, President Jimmy Carter came out and said on an interview this past week, President Carter, who's probably senile, I hope, that Jesus would approve of homosexual marriage. Now, this is supposed to be a Baptist preacher, minister, president, whatever he was, who knows the Word of God. How can the Word of God be broken? The Bible says the Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the Old Testament, it's very clear about sodomites and what they do and how they do it and what they're involved in and what God says should be done with them. If God Almighty and Jesus Christ are the same, the Son of God, created in the exact image of God Almighty, it says that in the book of Hebrews, how in the world could Jesus then turn around if they're the same entity, so to speak, different beings, same entity, all in one triune God? How in the world could Jesus then say it's okay to have homosexual marriages regardless of what Yahweh said? He's not going to do that. My gosh. He said in the New Testament, if you've seen the Son, you basically have seen the Father. See, this is the problem, Austin. They've set up a new normal, and that new normal is corrupting the very soul and nature of the United States. What do you think?
No, absolutely. That's exactly what's going on with it. I mean, if you could continue to keep them focused on all this stuff and slowly slide the paradigm further and further and further and further to the left. It was interesting because Lana showed me something the other day, because, you know, I don't have Facebook. Lana has one to keep in touch with her family and everything. And one of her friends, basically, who's a Christian, basically posted this big thing about how, you know, we're supposed to love one another, and you can't sit here and call yourself a Christian but say you hate homosexuals and you hate people that do this and that. And I was looking at it, and I was like, well, I said, you know, that is a true statement. You love the person, but you hate the sin. But what I found interesting wasn't just a comment that wrote. There was another girl that was supposedly a Christian, commented on this comment, and she put on there, and she was like, no, it has to be taken a one step further. You can't call yourself a Christian and say that you don't agree with this person's lifestyle, because it's their choice for them to do whatever they want to do, and you have to agree with it regardless of how other people feel. You're required as a Christian to agree with what they do, and whatever they do, they have to deal with it whenever they meet God in the afterlife. And I looked at it, I said, well, that's the biggest pile of garbage I've ever seen in my life, because the whole aspect of what we're seeing now, that it's so ironic to me, and this is something that I find really ironic, is that the leftist side preaches and demands this total tolerance of everything, that you can do pretty much anything you want to do. You can be gender fluid, transgender, 500 different names now, doesn't matter what it is. You can do anything you want, basically, at any time you want, and everybody basically is supposed to accept it, love it, stroke it, hold it, pet it, whatever you want to say about it, you're supposed to love it. But then as soon as you question something they do, they immediately call you like a neo-Nazi, racist KKK member because you've asked them something, or you simply disagreed with what they said, which is ironic because that goes against the total notion that they're trying to promote, that everything's basically supposed to be tolerance, everything's supposed to be love, everything's supposed to be pride, everybody's supposed to be happy about who they are. But as soon as you say you don't agree with something that they are, they automatically completely lose their mind and go completely berserk on it. And it's ironic to me because it's exactly what you just said. They're pushing us further and further down the line to where we don't even have the ability most times anymore to even disagree on something or say we don't agree with that lifestyle or that choice without being completely accosted, called all types of different names, being completely and totally just verbally beaten, so to speak, because we simply don't agree with something, to the point now what they've done in the universities and the public school systems and even out in most areas in general, is that you can't even project your First Amendment right anymore because you essentially self-censor yourself because you're scared of the reprisal that you're going to get from these individuals and basically the verbal lashing you're going to get simply for speaking your opinion and not agreeing with what the mainstream narrative demands you agree with now. And that is a really scary place to be now, because this is something that if this continues to go on further and further and further over the years, it's going to get worse. I mean, think about this for a second, guys. You know, we had this issue, what, 7-8 years ago with Target. That was the big thing in mainstream media, if you guys remember this now. Target basically came in and they said, people that are truly transgender, if they want to go in and use the men's bathroom, if they're a female or vice versa, they can do so. And that started this whole big transgender argument. And back when this argument started, the transgender movement was like 0.0001 of the population, percentage of the population, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it's like nothing, the actual nothing. To the point now where we have millions of people who even said they were homosexual before are now saying they're gender fluid and they can change their gender and their all these different things around at any given time, and the lunacy knows no levels. Look how far we have slid just in the last 8 years, guys, and look how far we're going to slide if we don't start making a stand now and saying enough is enough. Tolerance is one thing to deal with somebody's decisions on what they want to do, and quite frankly, if you want to be that, I'm the same with that. If I don't care, you can do whatever you want to do. This is a free country. But do not come at me and demand that I have to agree with what you do and I have to tolerate your militant behavior in front of my children because you demand tolerance. That is completely and totally reversed, because it's funny, because if I go out now and I say, you know what, I've had it, on Facebook, we're having a straight pride parade. Everybody who's a heterosexual, we are having a parade in Central Florida this year. Do you understand the backlash that I would get from that on social media if I actually went ahead and promoted something like that? Because I have enough following now with what we do. I could do that, and I could get tens of thousands of people involved in that, and I would get so lambasted in social media and on mainstream media for what I actually stood up and said for simply having a straight pride parade, it would be insane to me, something that I don't even want to put my family through, because I know it would be so derogatory, everything that would come about of it. But yet, if they want to go and have blatant militant transgender pride parades down the middle of the street, we ought to stand back and say, we have to tolerate it. You can't say anything about it. You can't even make a comment about it, nor can you even make a negative remark, nor you can actually take a smile off your face. If you do anything but stand there and smile and say, please, sir, can I have another, you basically get completely lambasted now. That is the issue we're running into now, Dad, and we cannot allow ourselves to keep going down this road, or else it's going to get much, much worse in another 8 years.
Well, no, you're exactly right. That's exactly what that quote from Aldous Huxley said. The new normal has become the abnormal. I'm going to repeat that. That just sums up what he said. The new normal has become the abnormal. The new normal has become the perverted. What they've done, this is so insidious. These Luciferians, name what you pick, with synagogue of Satan, do it, pick a name. There's no difference. They're all the same. They have taken the paradigm shift now and said that what was perverted is now normal, and the population of the country is so stinking dumbed down and so effeminate. I mean, gosh, I'm talking guys that act like just girly mug. It makes me want to puke. I can't stand it. They're so effeminate that they're willing just to go along with it because it's the new normal. The new normal says, hey, that's all cool, so I'm going to be cool now. No, it's not normal. By whose standards? The Luciferians? That's their new normal. I will fight it with every breath in my body, my being, when it contradicts the word of God for as long as I live and I sit on this earth. And that's my commitment to all of you today. I'm unbelievable. By the way, let me get off this topic. I'm going to do the whole show on this if I'm not careful.
Yep.
Trump is pardoning the Oregon ranchers who inspired the refuge standoff. I am so pleased with this.
Excellent.
Bravo,
excellent.
Donald Trump. Cheering section for Trump for this one. Unbelievable. I'm so happy to this. U.S. President Donald Trump pardoned Oregon cattle ranchers Dwight Hammond and his son on Tuesday, who had been both convicted on arson charges, sparking the 2016 occupation of the Wildlife Refuge when the Gate Canyon was president, according to a White House statement. The Hammonds' case led to the armed 41-day occupation of the National Wildlife Refuge, which was one occupier was shot dead by police. The takeover was the latest flare-up in a decades-old conflict between federal control of millions of acres of public land in the western United States. So, guys, well done on this one, Donald Trump. Complete and total. Kudos, kudos, kudos to you on this one. I like this because this shows me he's standing up for those property owners and their rights and going against what happened with the guys who came out there from the federal government under the Gay Canyon and basically terrorized that group of people. What do you think, Austin?
Yes, absolutely. There's no question about it. I'm really glad he's doing that. There was no excuse for that whole situation. I mean, all that stemmed back to the BLM issue out of there and with the Nevada ranchers as well. This whole thing got completely out of hand, and what happened was the federal government essentially got upset because they got their butts handed to them out in Nevada, and so they wanted to make sure they were going to do whatever they could to tighten these boys up and continue to show and flex their muscles with the BLM. So I'm really glad this is going on. Another story that I definitely wanted to touch base on real quick, because this is something that I've continued to talk about and I will continue to talk about as long as I can be on this show, is the issues we continue to see with GMO glyphosate. And I talk about this all the time on the show, and it's because there are constant studies coming out and they have to be brought up, guys, because this issue is not going away. A new study from Argentina links glyphosate to miscarriages and birth defects. People living in an Argentina town in the heart of the GM soy and maize growing area suffer miscarriages at least 3 times the normal rate, and birth defects is twice the national average, a new study shows. In addition, the study found a correlation between a high environment exposure to glyphosate and an increased frequency of reproductive disorders, specifically miscarriages and birth defects. The research was led by Dr. Madaro Vasquez, a physician who has spearheaded the investigations into the health of populations exposed to glyphosate. The town, the author notes that in Monomaze, GM soybean and corn crops use 10 kilograms of glyphosate per hectare each year. In the region as a whole, 650 tons of glyphosate is sprayed each year. And the environment analysis, glyphosate was found in 100% of the soil. This concentration was 10 times higher than that of any other pesticide studied. The rate of miscarriage and Monta maize over 5 years was three times higher than reported on a national analysis conducted in 2005, and also higher than found in a social health survey conducted in 2016 by the same team of researchers in the neighborhood of Cordoba. The authors noted that the increased prevalence is consistent with the findings of a previous study that detected a miscarriage rate of almost 20% in the farming village of Las Venateras. Birth defects identified in this study include abnormalities of the nervous system, genitals, limbs, kidneys, urinary system, digestive system, heart abnormalities, and cleft lip. This, again, guys, is another reason why I tell you, do not allow your children to be exposed to this stuff, especially in their food supply. If you're living around it, you got to figure out on your own accord what you can do. If you're not living out in some of these areas that's sprayed heavily, do not allow your children to eat GMO food. Try to stick with organic the best you can. And also, please, if you are pregnant, do not eat this stuff for at least 9 months. I know everybody is, you know, everybody's on a different budget. Everybody has different things they can handle. But if you are trying to get pregnant, do the best you can to eat fully organic, at least leading up to the pregnancy and throughout the entire pregnancy, and preferably through the entire breastfeeding process. It is so crucial, because all these times when they find glyphosate, as far as in these areas, the worst issues is during, basically from the embryo stage to the birth stage and at the younger year stage when they're exposed to it. It's bad enough when you're adult and you get exposed to this stuff and you have all types of other health issues. But the significant long-term health issues like birth abnormalities and everything else go up so much higher, as I just talked about in this article right here, when they're exposed to it in utero and after birth for the first couple years. So I really wanted to bring that up before we actually in the show ran through fast. I just looked at my watch. Wow. Okay. Next story.
Okay. In fact, I spoke to a friend of mine today who's basically battling cancer naturally, and I told him, I said, look, dude, I said, here's the thing. You got to eat organic. You can't be putting glyphosate because it inhibits absorption of nutrients in the intestinal tract. I said, this stuff causes cancer. This big suit starting right now in California this week about a man who basically said he worked on a golf course and he was spraying glyphosate. Now he's got cancer and he's suing Monsanto, I guess, be Bayer now. And the crazy thing about all of this stuff is that, you know, this is a major problem when their own research shows that the product causes cancer. By the way, probiotics have also now been shown to protect against liver damage. A new study has revealed non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is reaching epidemic proportions in the United States, with some experts putting the incident 25% of the population. Now, it's a major problem. In fact, that's one of the things that I like about the MCT oil combined with the probiotics, because the MCT oil helps that liver to basically get healthy again. It's so, so important. Another study also says that obesity massively increases the risk of breast cancer and makes the breast cancer cells that are cancerous much, much more aggressive when the woman is obese. Now, what can happen with that, let me stop for a second. The problem with this is when you have a person who's truly obese, I mean really heavily overweight, and they end up, you know, dealing with these issues in their life, including increased risks of breast cancer, a lot of it's due to the lack of circulation, because the blood flow simply can't go through the fat like it needs to. So you got to get that obesity level down. Obesity is a severe issue in the United States, with around 30% of the Americans now falling into this category. However, the problem, obesity is also spreading across the world. The World Health Organization and the German Cancer Research Center have reported that the number of obese young people under the age of 18 had increased tenfold between 1975 and 2016. So this is a major problem that's happening all over the world. And guys, it's all about how many calories you're putting in your system and what types of calories they are. Another article, mercury exposure and autism spectrum disorder are linked together according to many new studies, which we've covered that multiple times on the show. I just wanted to mention that one more time. And another story is this update, higher vitamin D levels needed to reduce the risks of breast cancer. A new study, again, is confirming it. We also talked about another study that did that last week. Guys, it's so important that we eat clean. I don't know how to emphasize it any more than that. I mean, if we continue to do the things the globalists want to do, it's like, let me give you an example. And I go, we're running out of time, so I gotta make this real quick. Does Satan want you to eat glyphosate? The answer is yes. Well, you say, well, I really hadn't thought about that. Well, yeah, think about it for a second. The devil comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. Does he want to turn the world upside down for the resurrection of the serpent god? Of course he does, with the Sabbatean belief. Okay? This is all the druidic stuff. They want to sacrifice all of us on this altar of whatever, on political correctness and eating this trash, because now eating glyphosate's become the new normal. Oh, most people don't even know about glyphosate. Oh, that's right. That's right. Most people don't even know that organic food's better. You're right, because they lie about it all the time and say it's no different. Guys, think through what you're putting in your body and ask yourself a question. You know, is this what God wants you to eat because he made it to be fresh and natural from the ground? Or is this what the Luciferian bunch wants you to do? Guys, quick show today. Man, that was fast. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for getting your vitamins from us. Thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you much for praying for us. Thank you for all of it. Just thank you. You guys are awesome. I had, again, the privilege and the opportunity to pray for you again this morning. And it means so much to me, all the emails and all the letters we get, and all my friends who continually write me and tell me about the show, and the fact that you guys are listening means so much. Again, a special thanks again to Brad and to Richard and to Terry for letting me allow read your stuff on the show today. It means so much to me, and that you guys are here and that we're all working together as a team. I love you guys, Austin. I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, bud. There's definitely, you know, this all takes an effort from all of us together. You know, our support that we have as far as with our customers, with our listeners, with our, you know, everybody writing us and emailing us, we all are in this together, and we all have to continue to push forward. We can't get complacent and get scared to talk about things, not want to push topics, not want to take it back over the line, because as we just talked about, the new normal is slowly creeping further and further left, and nobody seems to see it happening. Everybody continues to sit back and say, well, this hasn't happened yet, or this hasn't, or this isn't this, and that's not this. But you look back and compare it to what we said 15, 20 years ago. What would we compare today to 20 years ago, even 15 years ago, even 10 years ago now? And say, is this something that we were okay with 10 years ago? Is this something that we were okay with 15 years ago? If not, then we have to question why we're continuing to allow ourselves to be compromised further and further and further to the left. That's just my opinion on it, guys. But everybody needs to question that as far as, and I've told you guys this before, there are certain lines in the sand that I have, and they cannot be crossed. Once they cross that, we have no turning back, and we're reaching very, very close to those points where we're allowing them to push closer and closer and closer to those edges where we will have no other options left, and that's not a good place to be. We appreciate the support from you guys. If you need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com. We got lots of different specials running right now. We have the Resveratrol Plus on sale from the Hagman Show for 15% off. I talked about that again on the show. We've been doing a lot with that as far as with customers, as far as antioxidant, anti-aging, really popular product, and multiple other kits on there, including the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit, which we have on sale for over 10% off right now, and also the Maximum Energy Kit, which is a very, very popular product that it's a kit, a four-product kit that we put on there with the Ultimate Multiple, the B, the Adrenal Support, and the Cortisol Buster. That is an incredibly awesome kit. Those are four that I personally take every single day. And I always highly recommend it to anybody that's trying to basically keep stress under control and keep energy as high as possible. We appreciate you guys. We love you. Call us if you need anything. You have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.